And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is possibilities, perfection, and persistence. Each of my guests is commenting on what it takes to pursue possibilities and seek perfection through persistence. My next guest is a sommelier, a restaurateur, and bon vivant. He's examined all things French to discover the quoi in the je ne sais quoi of French culture. We'll discuss the collision of American culture into French traditions from his book, Stuff Parisians Like. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or you want to keep that number handy because we will be giving away two sandwiches or two salads to Urbane Cafe during this particular segment. So we'll call in, ask for the third caller to call in on that. My next guest, Olivier Magny, is a native Parisian and a French sommelier. After graduating from a French Grande École, which is the equivalent of the French Ivy League, he decided to turn away from the desk job that family expected him to maintain and to change his life by choosing to work in wine. At the age of 23, Olivier founded Au Château and became a laureate of the French Entrepreneur Network, which is the up-and-coming entrepreneurs. Today, Au Château is the number one wine tasting school in Paris and ranks in TripAdvisor's top 10 most popular Parisian attractions. Olivier lives in Paris and has personally taught the magic of French wines to more than 40,000 people from around the globe. Olivier's video blog, winerendezvous.com, was an American Wine Blog Award finalist in 2008, and his award-winning satiric blog, Stuff Parisians Like, made Olivier one of France's most influential bloggers. The success of his blog led to the parallel book of the same name, Stuff Parisians Like. Olivier is fluent in French, English, Italian, and Spanish. We'll be conducting the interview today in English. Welcome to the show, Olivier. How are you today?
Thank you, Billy. I'm doing great. You make me sound like such a busy man.
Well, you are a very busy man, and you're also very well known, maybe not to my listeners here in Ventura County, but you certainly are well known around the world for your blog and, of course, the work that you're doing with Au Château. So congratulations to you on that. I brought you on the show because I loved your book, Stuff Parisians Like, and I need you to help demystify the French culture for my listeners. The French, Parisians in particular, they're known for wanting foreigners to speak French and applauding those who try, no matter how badly they speak French. Yet, among young Parisians, there are so many English words and phrases that are sprinkled into the conversation. Le week-end, the conf call, CEO, instead of PDG. PDG in French is president and director general. Management. So these are all English words that are interspersed into the French language. So explain the integration of English into the French language and into the French culture like it's being adopted.
Well, you know, it has been a sea change. I guess people who came to France 20 or 30 years ago probably found that most French people did not speak French and struggled with English. French has caught up widely on its problems with English, and now many French people, especially in Paris, should I say, speak good English, you know, and love to speak it. So I have many clients that come to me and say, oh, you know, like, if I say something in French, people will respond to me in English. And it's just because they love to speak English. They just love to speak English, to sprinkle every sentence with English words. It sounds utterly cool to them. When you're in California, keep in mind how Hollywood has been influencing the world, including France. And so speaking English is just a cool thing to do. And so since Parisians have become people that were into being cool, they speak English a lot.
I see. Well, you say it's a sea change, and I would agree with you that it is. So generally speaking, what are Parisians' attitudes towards the United States and towards Americans these days?
Well, there's an article in the book that is called Considering Americans Stupid, which I try to explain the very weird thing that most French people have when it comes to America. Most people, when they hear les Américains, they hear like, they right away their brain turns to, well, they're stupid. And then when because I love the U.S., I have so many American friends and clients, and you know, I always stand for America. I'm like, well, you know, first, how can 300 million people all be stupid? That doesn't exist. And then I point out to them, you know, how like, well, you love American music, you love American movies, you vacation in America, you dress American clothes, you eat American food. And yet you say there's no such thing as American culture. You know, it doesn't make much sense to me. So American culture is everywhere in France, and yet the French love to claim that it's a thing that does not exist. So it's a, you know, just be lenient with the French. They're having a hard time with the evolutions of the world.
My guest is Olivier Magne, who's the author of the book Stuff Parisians Like. And many of my listeners, Olivier, listening to the sound of her voice, don't understand the French education system at all. Now, you're a product of that system, and a successful one. You graduated from one of the Grande Écoles. First of all, which Grande École did you graduate from?
I graduated from ESSEC, which is a business school.
Business school of one of the higher schools, sort of the Ivy League of France, if you will. So explain how the French education system works and how a young person's future is determined in French society by the time that person is 23 years old.
Yeah, it's very true what you're saying, Billy. It's basically what you studied, and more importantly, where you studied, where you went to school, is going to define how high you can climb the social ladder. Okay, if you went to a good school, pretty much everything's open to you. If you didn't go to one of these top schools, then no matter how bright you are, no matter how hardworking you are, it's going to be very tough. France is very much a country where people like to apply labels, you know, and if you have the sort of French Grande École label, then you're a smart person. So you can achieve things in life. If you do not have it, meaning you did not do as well academically, you're deemed to be probably less intelligent. So to some extent, less worthy. It's a bit sad to admit, but the French value academic success so much and, you know, like identify it as the most obvious form of intelligence that was. So there's a glass ceiling in French culture. If you did not go to a good school, high positions, be they political, business, the management, you just won't have access to them.
My guest is Olivier Magne. He is a sommelier, a restaurateur, a bon vivant. And because he's a restaurateur, we're going to be giving away two sandwiches or two salads to Urbain Cafe. I'll give those away to the second caller at 639-0008. Call in and win. You'll get a certificate for either a free salad or a free sandwich. Two of them, so you can take a friend to lunch, to dinner, whatever. Just give us a call, 639-0008, and the certificates are yours. Now, Olivier, one of the interesting things is that in Paris, you hang out with entrepreneurs in the Paris Entreprendre Network. And in the United States, entrepreneurialism is revered. I mean, we look up to the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobses of the world, that kind of stuff. While in France, too, a successful entrepreneur without the right education, without the right background, doesn't enjoy the same status as one in the United States. Explain that, and how is that changing in France today?
It's changing very slowly, even with the right education. I started Au Chateau 7 years ago now. Every time I see my mother, she still asks me, when are you getting a real job? And a real job for her means wearing a suit and working for, you know, a big company. If you work for a big company, you achieve something. You know, if you work for a small company, well, life is going to be tough. It's uncertain and it's complicated. So the French are not very adventurous when it comes to their professional life, usually. And so starting a business does have a form of appeal and a sense of adventure and things like this, but you know, anything that has to do with commerce, where your hands get down and dirty into the daily operations of life, is not as prestigious than just sitting in a computer. It's a huge difference with the U.S., where if you just maintain an office job in the States, I feel like it's not as highly regarded as if you start something or if you're out on the road. It's sort of the opposite in France.
Yeah, it does seem to be exactly the opposite. My guest is Olivier Magne. Olivier, in the United States, I'm going to ask you to talk about the economy and things like that, and I know that may not be your forte, but right now our economy is suffering because of what we call European contagion of the bad economies of Greece, Italy, and places like that. Now, when you speak about the Eurozone economies, however, in reality you're talking about two giant economies, France and Germany, and then, of course, the rest of the EU. So give us your perspective of the French economy today. What changes have you seen in the French economy over the past 3 years, Olivier?
Well, I would say that if you look at the economic crisis that the whole Western world has gone through over the past 3 or 4 years, France has been less impacted. Why is that? Simply because since I was born, I'm 31 years old, we never had a good economy. Like the UK in the late 70s was a very poor country, and it became an extremely wealthy country thanks to the finance industry based out of London. France never had that. So we were always a very slow, since the 80s, you know, 10% unemployment. Things were not doing that great. So when the financial crisis hit, well, for sure, didn't make things better, but it didn't make things like night and day. Like people didn't lose their jobs as much as they did in the U.S. or in the U.K. So you know, let's keep in mind that France is like not a lot of people work in the private sector. You know, you have 10 to 15% unemployment, mm-hmm. and you have 25% French people who work for the government. All right, so that brings you to almost 40% of people that live off public money. That is a gigantic proportion, and that is why you keep finding young French people leaving France and you know, moving to the U.S., moving to Hong Kong, moving to London, because it is tough out there if you're trying to be successful. If you work, I work really hard, and I started paying myself 2 months ago.
Wow.
7 years of starting my own business.
7 years, so, and now... And now you're getting a payday.
Really, I love wine.
Yeah, no. That is a passion, not necessarily a vocation. That is for sure. Olivia, you mentioned Parisians and French in general moving to the United States. You probably didn't know this, but we have a large population of French people living and working in both Santa Barbara and Ventura. And
they're lucky people.
Well, so what is the attraction? That's exactly what I was going to ask you. What is the attraction for Santa Barbara, Ventura area for Parisians and French in general coming over here to live and work?
Well, I think that, you know, Santa Barbara is probably one of the most beautiful places to live on Earth. When I've been there, I was just stunned by the absolute beauty of the place. You're by the ocean, fantastic beaches. You drive 10 minutes, you find yourself in the mountains. You have such, like, a great natural possibilities. It's very much open, you know, like if you compare with L.A., with people who live in San Diego, which are much more like urban sprawl. I feel like people in the county of Santa Barbara, in Ojai, in Ventura, you know, there's much more space, there's more room, and there's a feeling of freedom that is that would make for a great place to live. I think if I were to move to California, Santa Barbara County would probably my preference.
And we would welcome you. If you ever do come to California again, stop by the studio. We'd welcome you in. My guest is Olivier Magny. He's the author of the book, Stuff Parisians Like. And Olivier, you'll get a kick out of this. We have a winner for our sandwiches and salad, and she is a school teacher here in Ventura. So a big shout out to Jill, school teacher, who just won the 2 certificates for Urbane Cafe. Jill, thank you so much for being a loyal listener to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now, back to you, Olivier. One of the things that the French are known for in the United States, anyway, is their 35-hour work week, which was introduced back in the 1990s. Now, Americans, you know, because you're well-traveled, you were among the hardest working, or certainly the longest work hours in the world. Many United States people do not understand the 35-hour work week. Just recently, France has enacted some austerity measures to prop up the economy. Most notably, they increased the retirement age. Now, Parisians are retiring at age 67 instead of 62. How are Parisians reacting to this news, the extended work life that they're going to have in the new economy?
Well, you know, I think people overseas have a very monolithical vision of the French. They think the French aren't going to strike and they don't work hard. And there is a share of the population that is indeed like this. It's usually people that work for the train system, people that work usually for government, or for government owned companies, and they're the ones who have the ability to, you know, block the metro, block the train, block the electricity. So they can make a lot of noise, and it's a lot of them, as I said earlier. Yet, you know, to compensate for this, you have another France, a France you never hear about, of people that are very hardworking, that work a lot to pay extremely high taxes to pay for all the other France that goes on strike. And that's that France that sometimes gets upset at the image that we get of people that go on strike and are not realistic. So the people that are realistic about the economy tend to be the hardworking people. And some those young people leave France, as I said. And, you know, like many people in the 50s, 60s tell their kids in France, just leave. You know, just leave. It's not a good country. So it's very counterintuitive. And I know that in the States, many people have a sort of a dream vision of France and of living in France's perfect life and this and that. It is tough. And Paris is a very expensive city.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that love Paris, but it's you have to be able to work a lot or to work for the government to make both ends, basically.
That is true. My guest is Olivier Magny. Olivier, France, many Americans don't know this, but France had many colonies in North Africa and Arab countries until the 1960s. Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco are among the countries where native speakers speak French more fluently than they speak English. Now, France also has many Arab immigrants that have come into Paris. These immigrants live outside of the city of Paris in the Bandolières, which are our suburbs, essentially. That's what we call them. And there's been some unrest among the Arabs that live in the suburbs over unemployment, the stereotyping, the potential in the workplace and things like that. The question to you is this, Olivier. Is Paris ripe for an Arab spring similar to what we saw earlier this year in Egypt, Tunisia, and Libya?
Well, I think it's not only a France or a Paris problem. The Arab and Muslim immigration throughout Europe has been absolutely colossal in terms of numbers. France, it's probably the greatest Arab community because of our past.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, we are sitting on a time bomb. We have a big problem because the integration that France has been a country of immigration for decades and decades, and the Spaniards and the Polish and the Portuguese, and everybody integrated quite well. And even more recently, people with similar colony past, like in Vietnam, which was also partly a French colony, they came, worked, are integrated into French society. Much more difficult for a lot of the Arab community. We're now like second, third generation, and it goes worse and worse. And the fact that the French government for 30 years have been extremely too forgiving, too lenient with a lot of these people with a very socialist approach and not enough ability to say things as they are from either business, economy, social standpoint. And so I'm quite pessimistic about this, but at a European level, the riots that happened in France will happen again, no doubt about it. They have happened a lot in England. There's been clearly identified racial tensions. In France, you're not allowed to say this. And it's not racial because if I push it, it's on one side. So that's one thing. But I would like to say that all this, I believe, has been vastly pushed. It's an agenda of people in a government to deteriorate the situation and to lead to what signs out there lead us to see that they want a confrontation between the East and the West, between whatever Christian versus Muslims. And I think it is our duty go beyond this, not to accept what we're being led into, which is going to be disastrous. So I don't think, and I've evolved recently, I don't think that the enemy, that what ought to be fought is these people. Clearly, you need to, put things back on the line. But the real manipulation comes from above.
All right, Mike.
I'm flabbergasted that France is a country we've had huge immigration since the 80s, while having gigantic unemployment rates. Why did we bring people? It makes no sense. French people never asked you have such high immigration. It's not politically correct to say it at all. But that explains, it just brings questions to people who wonder about things. You have to wonder about the government. And when I talk government, I'm not talking only France. I think it's a world thing of the real people of power.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. My guest is Olivier Magny, who's author of the book Stuff Parisians Like, Discovering the Quoi and the Je ne sais quoi of France. Olivier, if people are interested and they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
There's two options. They can look the book up on Amazon.com. It's called Stuff Parisians Like. It's really a funny book. It's meant to be a funny take and also an informative book about French life, currently. And they can also visit our website, which is O, which is the letter O, -chateau.com. So O-chateau.com. My real job is to teach about wine. So we do wine classes in Paris. We have also the largest wine bar in town. So if you travel to Paris or if you have friends visiting Paris soon, you can send them on our website. We'll take good care of them.
Oh, that is wonderful. Olivier, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And thank you. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Thank you very much, Billy.
Take care.